Well, greetings. That's all right. You don't have to greet me. It's all right. I think that's awkward sometimes when we think we have to respond in a time like this, and it's okay when you don't. Okay. Seems like no matter how long you do this kind of work, there's always that need for a glass of water. Thank you. There's always a little anxiety that goes with this. As I said to someone this morning, that, you know, you try to be prepared, but I'm never ready till it's over. And I don't know how you relate to that, but That's kind of my theory, is that I'm not ever really ready until it's over, because I don't know. I can get spooked by the Holy Spirit in preaching, which means to me that He will sometimes take me a direction that I hadn't prepared for, but that's okay. In fact, I enjoy that. And we'll talk a little bit about that this morning, but I know you in this community, you have experienced some drama in the areas of death. And when these songs come on the scene, they have a little bit of a different, you know, once you are in front of a coffin and it's your loved one, it's your family, the songs have a different, they feel different. To me, they do. And I think some of you relate to that. But I don't know that all these songs have quite the message that we need, because I'm not totally sure that they give us the right information. For example, it's a lot of symbols that we sang about. I don't mean to be critical. Please don't take me wrong. Not at all. But a lot of symbols that you talk about. There's one thing that I pretty much am convinced, that there's a river. And there's grass. I'm not going to tell you why I think that, but I believe that there is, and it's touching. It is. It makes me emotional when I get into service like that. And so, if I'm emotional, we'll get through this in just a moment. We'll settle down after a while. We are planning to do communion, is what the plan is, and Elvin has suggested that I talk about that this morning, and that's what I will choose to do. And, of course, we have opportunity in our journeys, whereas we do communion in a lot of different communities, and I have opportunity to be in a lot of different places, and I share with them in communion. And it's kind of a unique setting, and I enjoy that. I love to do that because you learn. And everywhere I go, it's a little different. Everybody has a little different way of doing their communion. We were recently in a setting where there's people are all background is Russian Mennonite, and that was a little different too, and so you always have to be careful that you don't overstep, and that's what I want to be careful here today as well. Elvin has asked me to take charge of this, and his motive was that he said it's something different. Well, you'll probably discover that after it's all over with. It might be a little different than what you're used to, but I try not to take you out of the norm as what you're used to, because that can affect your worship, and I don't want to do that in no way. But as I think then of communion, I have been doing this so long, I've lost track of how many sermons I preached about communion and how many sermons I've preached on preparatory and the ways that this has been done. And I know that when I use the word preparatory, that you that you probably tense up a little bit because we get a little bit out of line sometimes with the word preparatory and what does it mean. And the way we have addressed preparatory in the past is a bit different than the way we do it nowadays. But the scripture is clear that we should think about what we're doing. You know, I used to do communion in the penitentiary, and there it was a mandate to do it quarterly, and we did it. But I was I made sure that I would do it. I never allowed my volunteers to do it because I wanted to make sure that the correct teaching was done, which I thought was correct. And I tried to stay biblical, of course, and to address the idea of communion, what it means, what it's for, and so on. And try as you might, there were always those who at the last moment, as we would be gathered in the front in a circle, serving communion, there would be those who would walk through the door, in your case it would be over there, walk through that door and join you for a piece of bread. Because that was very special to them. They would beg for the leftover pieces of bread that we had and for the little bit of juice that was left over, and it meant nothing to them. Now that, I learned that I could not take responsibility for those types of things, and I would just allow that to be with the Lord. But there were those who would do it very seriously, and it get blessed for it. So when I think of communion, you talk about there have been lots of past things in communion, how we relate to it. I used to remember, I've heard in my early days of ministry, there were times when people would say, well, if so-and-so goes to communion, I can't. And that was in my really early days of being a minister and a pastor. And some of you probably think, well, that's really weird. Well, it may be, but it was the way it was. It didn't take me long till I would think, well, now that doesn't make sense to me. If I'm not going to communion because of you, that's not even making any sense. And so I soon started changing my thinking about that and realizing that that wasn't the way it works. It is a personal thing with me, but it is also a body function. And I will talk about that and we'll go into that in a moment. But communion is a body function. It is not just individual, although it is individual. You know, in order to make the body clean and pure, the individuals have to be like that. So we have to be in a prepared attitude and a prepared model in order to make the body pure. Jesus does that, of course, but it all should be in an element of worship. It has its origin in the Passover. And I want to go with that. I want to go to Exodus. That's where I will start, Exodus chapter 12. And we will begin there, work our way through into the New Testament. Exodus chapter 12, the Passover is, as we well know, the word Passover has the idea that, and we sing the song, when I pass over you, when I pass over, and I see the blood, I will pass over you. In other words, that's the whole idea. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Well, it was Israel, and they had, there was a, I can't even say it now. It was the time of the, when the Pharaoh Israel was slaves and they were complaining and they brought in the, what did they call them? Plagues, thank you. Sorry. See, when you're 75, you can do that. At least I do it. Okay, the plagues were there. And this was one of the plagues. And the firstborn was going to die of everything. Male was when animals and firstborn. Okay. Now, they were told, and I will read in chapter 12, verse 7, they shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat, where the place where they're going to eat. Now, keep in mind, as I go through this, there is something I've learned very recently about the fact of communion, how a meal is so extremely relevant to communion. And we have completely dropped it. And I'm not being critical about that. It's just a fact. Tradition has, through tradition or whatever reason, we have dropped the meal. And there's power in the meal. And I will probably, I know, I will speak of that later. But this blood was to be applied to the place where they ate. Keep it in mind there. Verse 11, and you shall eat it. It goes on in the next couple of verses, talks about how that this sacrifice is to be prepared. And we're not going to spend time with that, but verse 11, and you shall eat that with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you're supposed to hurry up and eat it. Now that doesn't apply, but that's how they were told. You're supposed to hurry up. Eat with haste. Don't mess around. In other words, don't lollygag. Eat it. Get it over with. Get ready. There is a reason for these things. Get ready. And our song moderator spoke about our time here. And I'm old now and older. Not old, just older. And I'm thinking, how did I get where I am? How did this time lapse go? And it doesn't seem long. I used to hear other people say that. It's just so short. Now I understand what they say, but I don't understand how I got there. It's so fast. Well, anyhow, verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Here we are. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So the blood is the key. It's the key thing that even today we need the application, we need the appliance. You know, the blood has to be applied to our soul, our spirit, our life. The blood of Christ. And as New Testament teaches us. And so he is our sacrifice. Verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an what? An ordinance. How long? Forever. It's always. It shall be always. For who is it for? Well, in this case, it was for the Jews, the Israelites. They are to keep that. Now, I guess we are the spiritual Israel today, as some would say. Prophets would say that at least. Prophecy would declare that. We are the children of God. And this still applies. Couple of things in this verse 14, is the fact that it's to be a memorial. What is a memorial? What do you do when you have a memorial? You remember something. How do you remember it? It's usually supposed to be a time of celebratory or celebration. Something that is remembered in good. Not bad, but good. And in this case, they are to remember the fact that they were delivered from this plague. Now, it says that it is to be an ordinance forever. And I guess maybe that's where the church gets the idea that communion is classified as an ordinance. Now, what is an ordinance? An ordinance is what? When you drive through the towns around here, and there's a sign that says, this town has an ordinance. What do you look for? Come on now, I know what you're looking for. There's a cop here somewhere. There's an ordinance. There's a speed limit. There's laws. There's things that are going on here that we need to drive the speed limit. In other words, slow down, those kinds of things. That's an ordinance. An ordinance is a law. That's what it speaks about. So we are to keep the idea of the Passover is then brought over into the New Testament. So that's the reason why we do some of the things that we do today. We say, well, it's time for communion. Why do we do communion? Well, there's a reason why we do communion. I actually believe that perhaps we have gotten a little complacent about the whole idea of communion, that it's just something that, should I ask this perhaps, is communion, is it tradition? Is it culture? Let me see if I can find this. Does communion relate to us as culture? Or tradition? Obviously, there is tradition involved in it. It can be both. But it shouldn't be that. I think communion should be an experience. It's hard to have an experience when you're seeped in culture and tradition. Is it not? Now, I realize that as I stand up here and talk to you, that tradition and culture, if I take it out of its context and take it clear away from you, that it will affect you, but all of a sudden you're going to feel uncomfortable with Sam being up here. Difficult, isn't it, to have to face these things? But it's true. So we have to be a little bit careful about these things, although Jesus didn't worry about it. He took them completely out of their culture, their tradition, all away from where they were at. And so I would like to, for us to be thinking about the fact that, which is it? And if we're not careful, there's an improper way of celebrating communion. Now, communion, I understand it says, well, as often as you do this, you do what? You do remember me. Jesus said that. Now, what is he talking when he's saying that? And I have for years talked about that the fact that we are to remember what? Suffering, for one thing. He did suffer. Jesus suffered. He died. And he resurrected on the third day. Now, those are three elements that we normally think about when we think of communion. Because the fact is that we have, that is our salvation, really. Death. Suffering, death, and resurrection. And Paul talks about it in his letter to the Corinthian church, about that, how the Lord came to him, and that is what is to happen. Deuteronomy 16, and I'm not going to go there with a lot of words here, but it speaks to this effect that the place the Lord chooses to place his name. Now, I'm not totally clear on where all that would go. Coughing in a microphone doesn't do good. Let's go to Matthew 26. It was the time of the Passover, verse 17, Matthew 26. The feast, the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. (Clears throat) couple of verses. I'm not going to do all of this, but I'm going to pick out verses. Now, you may want to read this totally. In fact, I would encourage you to do that before tonight. First day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and said unto him, Where will you that we prepare? And the word prepare shows up. For us to eat the Passover. Now remember, the word eat shows up again. They're eating. There's a meal. The Passover is connected to a meal, always. Passover meal was a big thing. Love feast came in the scene later, where they called it a love feast rather than the Passover. Are you aware of the fact that the early Christians always ate during communion? They always had a feast. They always had a meal. Now, we symbolized all that, and we said, well, we know we eat a little piece of bread, and we drink a little juice. That's a snack. That's not a meal. There's a difference. Am I saying you should have a meal? No, I'm not saying that. Don't go out of here today and say, Sam said we should have a meal. Because Sam's not saying that. I'm not saying it's bad. I know of a group that call themselves the Pauline Church, and they are actually, in theory, they are called the Church of Christ, the Pauline Church of Christ. Yeah. Which means that if you know them, which that's a neighboring church in our community, and I am friends with many of them, know them well, and had a lot of theology conversations with them. They do things very different than we do, and they believe that they don't baptize, and their communion is a meal. And as I work through this, I'm like, when I first met this, run into this, one of their members was attending our church for a while because he was mad at their preacher. And so he came to our church, and I kept telling him, you need to go back home where you belong because you don't fit here. And of course, I can talk that way to him because he's this kind of relationship I have with him. But he finally did go back. But we had communion coming up, and he said, oh, we don't do that. And I said, well, you can come and observe and see how we do it. And then work from there. And then that's when I found out that they don't do communion like we do. They have a meal with us. Now, I was in a setting like that where we met as a church. We were away from home. And they had a love feast. So we sat around a table and we had a love feast. I'm probably starting something here. But during that love feast, then as we were finished with our meal, then we did exactly what Jesus is teaching here. They broke bread and passed the cup. And during this session, but you see, the whole idea of this meal is not to talk about farming or trucking or carpentry or cabinetry or fishing or hunting or catching deer or whatever. Is the whole meal is to be concentrated on what it's about. And our attitude and our whole thought process has to be upon who I am in Christ and who I am in the body. This whole concept of communion is about the body, not about just me. It's really about the body. Let me go on. And so they said, where should we go to prepare? And the word prepare is extremely important to me because in all of the Gospels that appears. And it is a word that is used, I think, should be today as well. I think we should prepare ourselves. In fact, the Scripture teaches me very clearly that I am to examine myself. How do I do that? What is it all about? You know, I really struggle with the whole idea of just showing up one day, and I'm in this group, and I walk in, and now I'm having communion. I hadn't even given it a thought. I don't think that's scriptural, to be honest with you. So if you have not thought about it, I am placing it in your mind for you to think about it. I do not have any intentions to place unfavored guilt on you. It is not my intent to make you feel guilty that's not supposed to be there. But if God places something in your heart today, you know, we have had in years gone by, communion is so important that you dare not be in odds with each other. That's clear. It's scripture. You cannot be in communion with God and not be in communion with your fellow people. And I even narrow that down more in the marriage relationship. If you and your wife are having a spat this morning, you had better get it cleared out before tonight. How's that sound? If you and your child have had odds together, I suggest that you get it cleared out before tonight. You see, you cannot be in fellowship with God through communion and be at odds with each other, family or otherwise. I'm serious. I mean, it's a fact. I cannot. Let me back up. There's no way that I can be in fellowship with God in my prayer life and prayer and pray right and be mad at my wife. There's no way. Oh, you can do it and nobody will know. But God knows. Now, who are we trying to impress here? I think we need to realize that our relationship here is about us and God. In order to keep that in place, we need to get it clear. So much for that. Well, going through the chapter here, he talks about the one that is betraying him. He talks about, I'm going to go down to verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. Now here again, as they were eating. I found it extremely interesting that every time they were in communion, they were at a meal. They were always having a meal. Every time. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should be sitting here eating steak and then have communion. That's not. In fact, it is not recommended to have a large Mennonite array of dishes like we cook. I mean, you know, you turn the Mennonite ladies loose and you're going to have, what is it, 7 sweets and 7 sours, regardless. It'll be that way. You're going to have plenty of food. That's not what this is suggesting, but they did have a meal before this. And as this was happening, Jesus would take the cup or take the bread and break it. And it is suggested strongly that he did this in the presence of Judah. Now, the question has come up many times that did Judas take communion and for the last years, people have tried to bring Judas in on the picture and say he did because they want to justify their own means and actions. I don't think he did. It states in one of the Gospels, and some of this stuff is kind of hidden, and you have to work hard to get it, but it does state, and see, there were two activities. One was the meal, they ate, and the other, they broke bread and drank of the cup, which is symbolic of what Jesus was teaching them. This is now my body that you're partaking in. Up till that meal, when the meal was going on, conversation was probably, he was telling them other things. Now all of a sudden, he stops, he gets bread, he breaks it, and he said, this is my body. One of the Gospels, one of the writers clearly say that at the beginning or at the end of that meal, Judas left quickly, hurriedly, ran. Because Jesus said, what are you going to do? Hurry up and do it. Do it quickly. I have a hard time convincing myself that Judas, I think I'm getting it right, was a partaker of the emblems of the suffering and death of Christ. I give it for something better. If you think differently, that's okay. We're not going to miss communion over that one, okay? You're allowed to do that. But I do not think he did, and there's no way to justify that it's okay for just anybody. There is a function within the body that needs to be kept in the body. Now I'm not, now you say, oh, he talked closed communion. I didn't say that. I didn't say closed communion, but however, in order for us to be accountable to each other, we need to know each other, do we not? You people are getting real serious here, I can tell. Well, he tells them, to take this now, this is my body, you take this and you eat and you drink. Now, it is 11:30 and I am not done. And my wife is thinking, I knew it. You want to quit? I have more. I've used up my 30 minutes. I'll try to quickly finish it. They sang a hymn after they were done there. They sang a hymn. Do you know what that hymn is? How many of you know what they sang? Oh, I feel so smart right now. No hands going up. Well, come on now, I'm not... No, I had you over the barrel, I know, because I looked it up. Back to Judas. In John 13, it says he left quickly after the sop. That's where it's found, if you want to look it up. And that would mean that it was... The sop is when they dip bread in a juice. Oh, I'm in trouble with my memory here. They dip bread in juice and they eat it. It's a sop. It's some kind of a thing. It was a ritual, tradition. Jews did it. And after that sop, he, and Jesus had said, the one that dips with me in the sop is the one. And it was him. And so on and so on. Now, the hymn they sang was Psalms 115, 116, 117, and 118. Now, I have been trying to figure out the tune they sang that on. I almost demonstrated that one time, and I thought, no, I should not. We will be late. All right. Luke 24. I want to point out this thing of what meals are. I want to show you something. Okay, Luke 24 is about the walk to Emmaus. You familiar with that? The walk to Emmaus. It was after the... By the way, Matthew stops at the resurrection. Boom. It's all of a sudden he resurrected and the tomb was empty and the women came and it's all over. Done. We're done. Now, I don't know about some of the others, but I found, as I looked through, I discovered that Luke took it just a bit further. And he talks about these guys, these men that are walking on their way. They had just left, what, Jerusalem or the tomb area, and they were talking. Now, and they were discussing, this male figure shows up and walks with them, and they don't recognize him, and they're walking along, and he starts telling them, expounding to them scripture, teaching them, and prophesying, and whatever he did, and they didn't think too much about it. And then they arrived at their destination, and he's like, he'll go on. He's just going to go, I'm going to continue on my journey. And they said, no. It's late in the evening. Stay here. Spend the night with us. Have the supper with us, or the evening meal. Tarry with us. Stay here. He said, okay. He'd stay there. They still didn't know who he was. They had no idea. Can you imagine this? And he's like, you blind fools. He's like, I don't know if he said it or not, but it's in there. And earlier he said, oh, you people are so blind. And he was really frustrated with it. I guess he was. He sounds like it. And so they get together and have a meal. I'm trying to hurry through this. They have a meal. And at the end of the meal, again, what does he do? He breaks bread. And he hands it to them. Now, this is a traditional thing that they're doing, okay? It's a culture. It's traditional. It is not connected to what we're doing at this point. But he hands them the bread. And they ate. What happened? Their eyes were opened, and they recognized who he was. Woo! I'm telling you, folks, that is exciting to me. I believe communion is one of the most important things that we can do as a Christian. And we have made so light of it. And I'm not suggesting that we need to do that meal thing. I do not want to suggest that. It's okay if you do it, but I'm not bringing that on this. I'm just telling you that's how they did it. And this particular event was when he gave them that bread. That tells me there is something significant about that. They saw him. I want to ask you this. When tonight, when we break that bread, who will you see? Ooh, that gives me chills. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who comes in our midst, and we recognize him through the brokenness of that bread and his broken body and his shed blood. The celebration of his resurrection, that excites me. Folks, when you sing about, I have no home, I tell you, people, we really don't. Linda did not expect to go when she went. But she suddenly gone. Unexpected. But I tell you what, that flight to me was, there are these unexpected events. Ruth, I guess, was expected. But these, they're expected, they're unexpected. It doesn't matter. There's this flight that I think we take to be with God. Do you understand the communion of the body? Is it not the worship of Jesus Christ? How do we know? Oh, I got to quit. John 13. No, John, not 13. John 17. You know John 17? You know what it is? Well, I'll tell you. John 17 is the prayer of Jesus. Now, the Lord's Prayer, Lord's Prayer. Oh, our Father which art. No, that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's his model. When he prayed, if you want to read his prayer, go to John 17 and you'll read about his prayer. And you know what he said in his prayer? He said, I got to read it. He said, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word? Do you do that? Oh, the next part is that they all may be what? One. Are you one here? I don't feel it any different, but I'm just asking. You would know. See, I come, I go, I come, I go. So I'm not the one to make that judgment. But that they all may be one, how? As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. I love that one. He wants his church to be one with him as he is with the Father. Oh, I think that is so precious. We talked about it in Sunday school. Now, this is a dynamic that I could bring in here, brothers. Why does he want that? Okay, let's read on. That the world may believe that you sent me. Do you realize, I don't know whether we do or not, but let's talk about it anyhow, that you as a church are an example of the oneness of God. It's kind of tough to be that way. I realize we are different and we have to get along. We have to figure out how to do this. But Jesus said, I want my church to be one with me as you and I are, Father. You and I, we're one. And I want my church to be like that. Pretty serious stuff. Now, verse 23. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, has loved them as thou hast loved me. And I'll stop there. But it is a oneness, a body. I can't quit yet. I'm sorry. If you need to go home and fix your roast, you go ahead. But you're going to miss out. We have to finish. I'm not. A while back I preached at home and I did this. I quit when the clock said to quit, and people just didn't understand what I was preaching about. It's not a good idea. Just quit when you're not. Have closure. Okay. Now I want to do a closure here. And we most generally go to 1 Corinthians 11. And there we discover the teaching in the Corinthian church. By the way, after you leave the Gospels, the whole trend has a change. There's some things that are not talked about. I don't know that you even talk about Passover much after you get out of Acts. Now, in Acts, they did it. And again, they ate. It was a meal because that was tradition. That was culture. They had a meal. And by the way, they met, every once a week. And that's when they did it. And they had it every weekly. Every week. Every Sunday, whenever. They had communion. So should we? I'm not going to say. I mean, there are people that do. Some people think we should. And others think, well, that makes it, that we get used to it, and then we won't have no meaning. Well, see, if we're just going to be that way, and we're going to be complacent as a Christian anyhow, then it doesn't matter how often you do it, or when you do it, or if you never do it. Okay? If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of my life and the Savior and the Son of God to me, then it will become it'll be apathy, and it won't have any meaning. I've heard people say, "Well, communion is not that serious. It doesn't matter. I don't need it." Oh, really, folks? I'll tell you, that's serious talk. Well, the 11th chapter of Corinthians, he talks about several things. I'll do this quickly. He talks about heresies. And you know what he's talking about when he says, I hear there's heresies among you. Do you know what that was? It was a division that was created by three leaders. It was. You know who they were? Peter, Paul, and Apollos. Maybe I got it wrong, but it was first chapter of Corinthians. First Corinthians, I believe it's either one or three. It says there's a division here. Some of you are saying, oh, I'm with Peter. Some say, no, I'm with Paul. Another says, no, I'm with Apollos. And he said, that's heresy. He called it that. So I can too. It's right there. 19th verse. That's the heresy he talks about. And he says, you cannot have that. You cannot be a body as one and have that division. I realize I've been a leader. I've worked in ministry for many years. I know what it's all about. You got them sitting around here. We know. It's there. Let me tell you, it's hard work. I have no criticism about any of these that are sitting here at all. I don't care what kind of leadership you're in. If you're an elder, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a husband, you're a father, or whatever, there's work in being this kind of a person. Now, he says you should examine yourself. That, to me, is the key. It's not so much whether we're going to have a meal or not have a meal, but I did want to say to you that there is that in the Scripture. And in the, let me see, 10, 1 Corinthians 10, it also, I believe it's that one. No, I would stay out of there. And he talks about this. Now, I'm going to read to you in the closing moments, verse 23 in 1 Corinthians 11. And this is what it says. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to remember me. How are you going to remember Jesus tonight? That's important. Hope you'll remember him in the right way. Now, after the same manner, it will take the cup. And after he had supped, he said, this cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're showing the Lord's death till he comes. Two things. You're remembering his death. I don't like to remember death. I don't. I'd rather remember life. Because his resurrection is more pleasant to me than his death. So we celebrate the three. As often as you do this, you're remembering. You're showing the Lord's death till he comes. Well, verse 28. So let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So many people get hung up with the next verse. Oh, should I? What if I'm not right? Let me tell you a secret. Nobody in the world knows better if you're right than you. And if it's not right, then make it right. You have 6 hours and 30 minutes and 6 hours and 45 minutes to get it right. Okay? Deal? There's no reason in the world, but it can't be right. Now, you will be challenged with a false guilt in the whole matter, because the enemy is not about us having a nice time tonight. The enemy is not about you enjoying communion. He wants you to stay out. He does. Because he's mad at us because we love God. So he's mad at us. So he's going to do everything he can to destroy us, and that with it. So may the Lord help us. May he guide us and bless us tonight as we share in those emblems. And I hope that you will, every one of you, will be here to share in those emblems of celebrating our salvation and our forgiveness with Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Father, we are grateful to you for your love and for the blessings that you gave us today. Thank you for our relationship with Jesus Christ. I am grateful to you, Jesus, that you came and gave us life. You taught us about yourself, and you gave us many things to celebrate about. And as we prepare ourselves for this evening, we'd ask you to show us how our relationship is with each other and with you. Should there be any need for correction, would you bless that and help us to do that? Just whatever we need to do, God. We want to be in a good grace with you, the Father, through Jesus Christ, the help of the Holy Spirit. Would you bless this church as we go forward and for tonight's service? We thank you for every gift that you have given for us to enjoy, and this is one of them. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you are dismissed.